It's Window Nation's semi-annual sale, and it's a big deal. Right now, get 50% off all windows along with no interest for 5 years plus bonus savings when you schedule a consult today. If your windows leak, get foggy or hot, or you're paying high utility bills, that's a big deal. With Window Nation's semi-annual sale, you can replace your windows and save a big deal too. Schedule a no-obligation in-home estimate now. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com.
You hear that? Your dog knows. Spring is coming sooner than you think. Dog walks, dog parks, playing fetch, all the stuff your dog loves to do with you. But the warmer weather also means that fleas and ticks are coming back. Fleas and ticks are in the grass, in the woods, and even on their dog friends. Fleas are an itchy nuisance, can easily get into your home, furniture, and beds, which can be terrible. Ticks are even worse. They're hard to spot, but can carry disease and get your dog really sick. PetMeds has your furry friend protected with the best products to prevent flea and ticks all year long. PetMeds pharmacists connect directly with your vet to save you time and deliver the best products for your pet. PetMeds offers low prices on all flea and tick meds, including NexGard, Simparica, and more. And PetMeds AutoShip helps you save even more with additional discounts on regular shipments of PetMeds, dog food, and other high-quality supplies. So get ready for all the spring fun now. Visit PetMeds.com and use promo code PODCAST to save 40% on your first auto ship order. That's PetMeds.com and promo code PODCAST.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
That's right, it is Go Birds Radio. Elliot Shore Parks, James Seltzer with you till 3 today. As Elliot, we creep ever and ever closer to the NFL draft. It does feel, we said last week we did this whole show, we're like, whoa, the NFL draft is almost here, can you believe it? And it's like, I still can't believe we're only like 10 days away from the NFL draft.
Yeah, I mean, three weeks from now, we'll know who the pick is.
Yeah, 2 weeks from now.
Yeah, but we'll also know in 3 weeks.
What a good point right there.
You're in right. A month, we'll know too.
Yeah.
Slowly but surely, yeah, it is here though.
How you doing, pal? You doing all right?
I'm good. It's, you know, I like we've talked about, I do think with the draft, the closer it gets. A month ago, if we would have talked about it, I would have said they have holes, but you know, you can do this, that, whatever. It is like a very important draft. Coming off of last year, they have to find, I'm going to feel like, you know, James circa 2020. They need blue chip talent.
Yes!
You know, so this roster has young talent on offense, some on defense, and we'll get into that. But yeah, this is a chance to really add like a cornerstone to the team, especially in an offseason where they've lost two of their cornerstones.
Totally. And you know how I feel. I think they've got a lot of needs on a particular side of the ball. 215-592-9494. But we were driving in today. You know, just batting stuff around, talking draft.
Talking Eagles.
Talking birds like we do. Yes, that's what people might not know, that, you know, it's not just on the radio that we do this all the time. But you said something to me that made me go, what, Elliot? Absolutely not. Say what you said.
You have to be a little more specific.
Yeah, no, I think you know what I said, what you said.
I was thinking about earlier in the week, I think it was Joe and Hugh did the, you know, do you trust Howie? Take and you know, talking about whether going into this draft, if you have confidence in Howie Roseman. And it made me think, you know, we're getting to around the time in Howie's career where the other head coaches have started to have more say on the personnel side of the ball. Doug had more say after the first few years. Obviously, we know Chip got all the say and, you know, moved Howie over. I think I want Nick Sirianni to have a fair amount, you know, if not like a ton of input on who they draft here. It's not a lack of confidence in Howie. But going into next year, Nick's job is somewhat on the line. And Nick is the guy that's going to be coaching this player that they draft, or, you know, all the players, obviously, but especially early on with those first three picks. I think that there's a good chance they'll go offense, whether that be offensive tackle or receiver. And I trust Nick to have input on this. So going into the draft, I trust Howie. But ultimately, when they make that decision, I don't want Nick just a bystander in the room. I don't want Nick just hanging out, seeing what the rock, paper, scissors scores were with the prospects. I want Nick to have a lot of say in who they draft. And I think he's earned that right, too.
I think that is absolutely insane.
Why?
Look, I understand you always want to draft with the coaching staff in mind. You want to know what the coaching staff is looking for in certain types of players, certain types of positions, how they go about their business, what type of players fit, and all that. But Nick Sirianni is a head coach who, you said at the beginning, you know, he's on the hot seat this year. Like, he could be gone in half a season. He could be gone at the end of this year. I'm drafting a player who has to be a part of my team for the next 5 years minimum. I'm trying to draft the next Fletcher Cox, next Jason Kelsey, the next guy who's going to be here for 15 years. Like, I can't let Nick Sirianni, coming off a disastrous season where I'm already suspect of his ability to run a football team, to make these type of decisions to begin with, like, absolutely not. Like, they have to draft not in spite of Nick Sirianni, but Nick Sirianni should have very little say.
No,
less than most coaches should have.
They have to draft for Nick Sirianni. They're drafting for Nick.
They're drafting for the Philadelphia Eagles.
No, but right now, the Philadelphia Eagles are Nick Sirianni. He's going to have a huge input on how this season goes. And
he's not even in charge of the offense or the defense.
Well, he is.
What are we going to let him choose?
He is in charge.
Let Vic Fangio make a call if you're going to go that way.
I'm fine with Vic having say. But Nick has earned the right. I think we're doing this thing because of how last season ended, where, you know, I agree he's somewhat on the hot seat. But ultimately, he's a head coach that in 3 years has brought this team to the playoffs three times. His record over 3 years is way better than I think most people would have predicted when they hired him. And the other part of this is, I think Nick knows what he's talking about. I do think Nick has a good offensive mind. I do think Nick knows, along with Kellen Moore, what type of players they need for their offense. You're right that Howie will listen to Nick and it will be collaborative. I do agree with that. But ultimately, we know that when push comes to shove, Howie's the one making that pick. If it comes down to a handful of players, I want Nick making that call.
I don't. There's a reason you have a front office and a coaching staff. The coach's job is to coach the players. And again, yes, I understand that you need certain players for certain schemes and types of things, but it's their job to coach the players. It is Howie Roseman and the scouts and the front office people whose job it is to analyze players, to analyze the draft, to scout these guys and make those decisions. That is who should have the most say in these decisions.
So this feels like a continuation of the car ride, by the way. This is exactly right. But in all seriousness, if Bill Belichick was the head coach, would you want him to have say?
He's not! Nick Sirianni
is! If he was, though.
Belichick is an impossible example. He was picking his players for years and years and years.
All right, let's say it was Sean McVay. Let's say it was Kyle Shanahan.
I would want them to have more say than Nick Sirianni, not than the general manager.
No, but Nick deserves just as much say as those guys.
No, he doesn't.
Yes, he absolutely does.
He's not proven
does.
What but those is, guys have. Sean McVay won a Super Bowl.
And Nick almost won a Super Bowl, for what
didn't.
It's worth.
No,
but I know,
didn't.
But he was right there.
With, like, not the best roster we've ever seen in Philadelphia.
Yeah, and he got career years out of those guys. I just think what you're doing, and I'm guessing where people will fall on this, is like a diminishing of what Nick is and what Nick has accomplished. If I told you before they hired Nick that in 3 years he would do what he did, you would have no problem
but
giving him
there's,
say.
There's context there. He's coming off the worst 2 months
so
of his
Howie.
Career.
Howie's had a bad year.
Not the same as Nick.
Well, I would argue Howie's year was worse in a way. Howie missed on all the free agents.
Okay, Howie had a bad year, but I think when we look at that team, most people agree that they got less out of the talent on the roster than...
Well, what do you think of the defensive
side? I think the coaching was the worst thing about this team last year. The coaching was the single worst thing about this team last year.
So I wouldn't go there. I would say that I think the players underperformed. And ultimately, the roster that Howie gave Nick was not as good of a roster as we thought. So going into the draft, again, I think Howie is a top five GM in the sport. This is not anti-Howie. But this is a pro-Nick thing where Nick has earned the right to have say. Howie is not untouchable. Howie is not gets to
Nick almost got fired, man. Like, whether or not
he's
they'll
not
say
fired.
It, we all know that they
he's
took
not
9
fired.
Days.
You can't take the rest of
that doesn't mean you give him full say on
not
draft.
Not full say, you but he should have a ton of say.
He should have far less say than the front office.
No,
far less say.
Why? Why?
Because it's the front office's job to
but
draft
players.
But he's
the one that's going to be coaching the players. He's the one that
so
knows.
Is every coach in the NFL. There's a reason that you have a general manager and you have a coach. And yes, sometimes that commingles and sometimes general managers take control. But in San Francisco, John Lynch has the final say on who they draft, not Kyle Shanahan.
See,
and John Lynch has done a good job drafting players there.
To me, this feels like a continuation of how much say Nick should have in the offense or how much say, you know, who's a true head coach. And it's the beginning of what I am afraid is going to be an all-year discussion of Nick, you know, Nick shouldn't have power. Nick doesn't do things. Nick should absolutely have a ton of power in that NovaCare. I'm not saying more than Howie, but when it comes to making this pick, if they're sitting there and Howie's deciding between, you know, they're like an offensive tackle and a receiver or whatever the players are, I want Nick to have a ton of input there. I don't want Nick just sitting by and saying, you know, you're the GM, you make the decision. Or, you know, Alec Hallaby, you know the numbers, you obviously have a say in this. I want Nick to have a ton of voice there because he's earned it, and I think he knows what he's doing. Nick knows good football players. He knows offense. And I think that going into this draft where there's a good chance they will go on the offensive side of the ball, his opinion should matter just as much, if not more, than Howie's.
No,
he's the offensive head coach.
He could be gone. We talk about this all the time with general managers. We say there's nothing worse in sports than a general manager whose job is in jeopardy because all they're worried about is making moves to keep their job. Nick Sirianni's job is in jeopardy. If he's drafting a guy, you think he looks at two guys and says, all right, this guy can help me now, but I think this guy might be the better guy long term. Which one's he going to pick with his job on the line?
Which one would you want?
I want the guy who's going to be better long term. I want the guy who has a chance to be a 15-year
Eagle. I think there's an interesting discussion there, but there's
the
nothing wrong.
I want the better draft pick is the point. There is something wrong.
But there's nothing wrong with picking the better, the win-now player.
But there is if the impetus for it is my job's in jeopardy, and that's the reason I'm picking the better player, not what is best for the Philadelphia Eagles over the next 10 years. That's what you have to go into with this draft. You can't be saying, well, my job can be in jeopardy. That guy can help me right now. Even we're human beings. He might not even do it on purpose. He might just instinctually understand my job's on jeopardy. That guy can help me right now. And it might not be the best choice for the future of the Eagles.
Right. So obviously, I don't want Nick making a selfish decision. I agree with
you
on that.
How can you control that? His job is on the line.
But you can do that with anything. You can say,
no, Howie Roseman is not going in this draft thing, and I could be fired if I make the wrong choice. Now, I guess theoretically, I don't think
Howie is on a hot seat.
But that's the point. He doesn't have that imperative. He is able to look at the pick and say, all right, it might not be the best pick for year one, but year two, three, four, I think it's going to be. So, whereas Nick, year one matters more than any other year.
But for what it's worth, Nick has, I think, repeatedly shown during his time with the Eagles, he does put the Eagles first. He gave up play calling to Shane Steichen. Now, look, the decision to change a coordinator, and I know we could go through all these and say, was it him, was it not? Changing coordinators, while not the right call, was certainly a put your neck out there move. If we want to go with the assumption that it was his decision, changing from Sean,
I don't think it was absolutely not his decision.
But they've said it was his decision.
Okay, but I don't believe that.
Okay, but I think it's more in the middle than you make it out to be. I think Nick had a ton of say in the coordinator change. But fine, giving up play calling. All right, the rookie year, he gives up play calling. That was a selfish decision. This past
his
year,
his job wasn't on the line at that point. Like,
well, that's not true. Actually, if you remember,
he wasn't fired in year one. I know, as a fan base, we were talking about it, but
he was under an immense amount of pressure. Regardless, I think Nick has shown that when it comes to making decisions for the Eagles, he does not put himself first, right? So while I agree, and it's a good point, that you don't want someone making a pick that feels pressure on their shoulder in the way that if I take this guy and he doesn't play next year, like, I agree with you on that. I don't think Nick would do that. I think that when how do you know he would?
Because his job is on the line. It's human nature to protect your job in that situation.
But he's been in situations with his job on the line
level. This is by far the most his job has been on the line going into a season. It's not even close.
You could argue at the end of last year. I mean, with the coordinator.
They went to the Super Bowl.
No. I mean, like 2023.
Right, that's what I'm talking about. Right now, heading into this next season, his job is as precarious as it's ever been. That's my point. He is going into a season where he is on the hottest seat he's ever been on.
So he is on a hot seat. I agree with that. Jeffrey basically, you know, didn't deny it or didn't say he wasn't safe or whatever at the owners' meeting. But that doesn't change the fact that when it comes to making this pick, he's the one that's coaching the guys. Like, I know we're making, and I do want to talk, obviously, the specifics of it, but on a large scale, like, it's why I brought up Belichick and Shanahan and McVay. The people that coach these players should have a ton of say. And so for Nick, I think Nick deserves to have a say in who they draft. You're right about the pressure that he's under, and I have faith in Howie, but it is not, like, with me, I'm not just going into this draft and saying, let Howie pick whoever he wants. I think that Nick should have a ton of input on that.
I think that, as I said before, obviously you're drafting players who fit what you're doing, and Nick's the head coach, so part of what they're doing is what Nick's doing, though I think it's going to be a lot more what Kellen Moore and Vic Fangio want to do than what Nick wants to do. So obviously you have to factor that in. But Nick is not choosing the players. Nick should not have more say. Again, you have a front office for a reason. There's a coaching staff for a reason.
Yeah, but
they
the front office's
things.
Job is to build the roster for the head coach.
Yes, but it's also to build the roster for the future of the Philadelphia Eagles. To take the best players. To take the players that you think can become the best NFL football players.
Yeah, but so I think it's an interesting point by you, but I'm not just going to concede it. Like, I don't think Nick is just going to sit there and go, this guy helps me so much more week one. Like,
but
I
the
do
point
think
is... He is in that position, and you can't control it. You have no idea what Nick will do when his job is on the line. We talk about it all the time with GMs. That GM, oh, his job's on the line. Look, he traded for a quarterback who can play right now. What a shocker. Like,
right.
Probably not the best move for the future of the franchise, but I'll bet you it keeps his job for a few years. Like, you don't think Nick would do that, but Nick is in that same situation that those general managers are in that we talk about it, where if things don't go well this year, he will be fired.
Yeah, but I don't think you can. So once they've decided to keep Nick, you can't then continually go out the
but
year
they weren't
and make
gonna,
decisions.
But the point is, I wouldn't give him decision anyway. It's Howie Roseman in the front office should have the say on a draft pick, the final say. To begin with, regardless of who the head coach is. But then on top of that, when we're talking about a head coach who might not be here at the end of the year, who has a real imperative to succeed right now, like, those are not, that's not a good recipe for giving someone control of a draft.
But I also think having a GM where the head coach doesn't have any say or isn't getting a large input here is also not a recipe for success. Would you agree with
that? I'm not saying they shouldn't, like, understand what the team's doing offensively. I'm just saying Nick is a voice in the room, but far
but
from the most important voice.
He needs to be, if not the most important voice, the second most important voice. He's not just a voice in the room. Like, Kellen Moore shouldn't have more say than him. Vic Fangio shouldn't have more say than him. Nick is the head coach. And again, this is what we're walking into this year, which I can tell already is going to happen, where continually Nick gets cut out by the knees because of the perceived fact that he's in the hot seat. Once they decided to keep Nick, you then have to do everything you can to make him succeed. And if Nick's
room... Again, he doesn't have personnel control. That's Howie. He's a head coach, not a general manager.
I'm not saying he should get personnel control. I'm saying when it comes to the draft, I want Nick having a ton of say. This isn't just Howie season. This isn't just, do you trust Howie? I want Nick involved heavily in that season. And again, he has earned the right to as well. This is not just, you know, oh, it's like I like Nick and I want him to have... Nick has earned the right to have a say who's on this roster. He's earned the right to say, this guy fits in my offense better than this guy thinks, and so we should go with this guy. I'm not saying full control, but I want him to have a ton of say when it comes to this pick.
215-592-9494. Where do you come down on this? Do you think Nick Sirianni should have a heavy say in who the Eagles draft, again, as a guy who...
It also comes down to, do you trust Nick?
No.
See, but
not there. Again, you know where I trust Nick to be a motivator. I trust Nick to be a CEO type head coach, to keep the train running, to make sure, you know, the practice schedule's right, to do all this type of stuff that, again, seems like, oh, what's he do? But it is all important stuff to the functioning of an NFL franchise. It's all stuff that matters. And I think when he doesn't have the offense to worry about, I think he's a good game day coach when he's not worrying about that other stuff. Like, I think he's good at all that stuff. But when it comes to, like, the talent of the players, the scheme, what we're going to do offensively and defensively, I want other people to be more in charge of those things.
But I think Nick has shown you through these 3 years, he can be in control of those things.
But
again,
he did a horrible job last year.
But so did Howie. If we want to say Nick did a poor job, then you have to kill Howie as well.
But again,
you
we're talking about draft.
There's no talent
again,
on the
you're
defense.
Talking about, I think Nick did a bad job coaching the team offensively. I think his offensive schemes and ideas are not creative and are not next level. I think they're stale. And I think that Kellen Moore should have more say when it comes to that specific stuff.
But you can only coach the players you have. And so this goes back to the full debate we had for months where coaches versus players. On the defensive side of the ball, we both agree that talent was not what we thought it was going to be. Now, I do blame Patricia, and I think new coordinators will help that, and I actually think there's more talent than this city gives it credit for, but ultimately, they did not have the talent we thought they did on the defensive side of the ball coming in. Howie's the one that didn't find another safety. Howie's the one that made the linebacker position what it is by trying to sign guys that didn't end up working out. So ultimately, while yes, you were right, Nick didn't have a great year because the whole team didn't, Howie also didn't have a great year. His year was just as bad as Nick's.
215. No, I disagree. 215-592-9494. Get on the line now. Should Nick have a big say in who the Eagles draft? And then, of course, just draft talk. Who do you want? It's starting to get to the point
who
where
does
it's
Nick
like,
want?
Yeah, who does? Nah, yeah, we're starting at the point where, you know, we're starting to do the research. We've got some names. Who's your name? Who are you excited about? And of course, the whole offense defense thing. All of it's on the table. 215-592-9494. We want to talk to as many real ones as we can. Let's start out where we do every single Saturday this time in Abington with our buddy Tommy. Yo, Tom.
Yo, fellas. How are we doing today?
What up? How you doing, Tom?
Elliot, are you out of your bleeping mind?
What about?
I mean, are you serious? What about?
What about?
Nick Sirianni.
Yeah.
Okay, so I heard in the open you said Nick Sirianni almost won the Super Bowl, huh? Yeah, well, you know who did win the Super Bowl? Howie Roseman.
Yeah, and Howie should have say, I agree, obviously, and I'm saying he should have ultimately final control. But Nick, but before Nick got here, this team was in a really bad situation. Like, you're diminishing mm-hmm. Nick's role in turning this thing around.
Yes, I am.
Okay, well, I'm glad you're admitting it.
You know why I am? Because when Nick Sirianni had competent coordinators in Gannon, who I was a fan of,
I'm not surprised by that.
Okay. So I was a fan of Gannon, and of course I'm a fan of of Steichen, right? Because they were the catalyst for that team. And then what happened when they left last year? The collapse, okay? And now this year, now that we have Kellen Moore and we have Vic Fangio, we'll have a respectable season. You know why? Because Nick Sirianni's fingerprints are nowhere near this team.
Yeah, I just think you're dead wrong. So first of all great coaches also have great staffs. If you look at Andy Reid, who's probably the best coach, actually definitely the best coach in the history of this franchise, he as well fell off when he started replacing staff. It's hard to do. So I don't think you can just
When?
When he had trouble replacing staff towards the end. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, 14 years in? Stop it, man. That's not even a comparison.
14 years. No, they were awesome the first five or six years.
13 years in.
No, but I'm saying they were awesome the first 5 or 6 years. They had trouble replacing coordinators. They had a lull there. And then at the end,
lull there.
So
let
me get this straight.
Last year was not a lull, Elliot. It was an epic collapse.
And who was the general manager for that collapse?
I've seen in Philadelphia sports
history.
I agree.
It was a bad collapse. But who was the GM of the team that had that collapse?
It doesn't matter.
So it matters who the head coach is, but not the GM.
The GM put a team together that went 10-1, okay, to start the season.
So where was Nick for that 10-1?
Huh?
Nick coached that team to
10-1. Nick went along for the ride. He didn't coach anything.
He was not along for the ride. Why was his team so bad then before Nick got here? What, they win four games before Nick got here?
Nick called plays at 2 points in his tenure here. The first time it was so bad, we had to put a new one in, and then we made the Super Bowl, right? And then the second time he decided to, we had the most epic collapse ever.
But again, like, what you're doing is you're just saying it's everyone but Nick. But at the end of the day, this team wasn't winning before Nick got here. Nick was the head coach that almost got them the Super Bowl. He was the head coach that got him to 10-1. They need good coordinators. Like every other head coach, they need good coordinators. So I agree with you on that. But if they're good this year, it's not just going to be because of the coordinators. It'll be because of Nick.
Hey, James.
And I want Nick to have say in the players.
James. Hey, James.
Yes.
I'd like to speak to a grown-up right now, so I'm going to talk to you.
I'm excited to hear you talk.
I'm going to tell you that you're spot on with this, and don't let Elliot off on this because he's dead wrong on this. And I'm going to end in this. I am in the middle of a yard sale at 2017 Maplewood Avenue in Abington, okay? And I had to take time out to scald Elliot, so... Good luck, James.
Well, I might have come to your garage sale, but now I don't know if I feel
welcome. All right, Tommy, great call, buddy. We love you.
I just think the idea of saying the head coach that has presided over one of the best offenses in the league for the past 3 years should have a fair amount of say in who they draft on offense that controversial.
Saying presided over one of the best offenses in the league last year is...
Over the last 3 years.
3 years. Well, first of all, they were not one of the best offenses in the league 3 years ago. We know that. They were a good running offense, but they were certainly not one of the best offenses in the league. They were the best offense in the league with Shane Steichen as the coordinator. I agree with that. And then last year, they were not even close to one of the best offenses in the last league. They were a mess.
They were a mess at the end of the year. I agree with that.
For 2 months plus,
they were a
disaster.
Mess at the end. I agree with that.
215-592-9494. Where do you come down on this? Should Nick Sirianni have a heavy say in what the Eagles do on draft night? And, of course, all your draft thoughts. 215-592-9494. Here with you till 3. It's Go Birds Radio. We'll be right back.
Selling a little or a lot?
Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's Go Birds Radio. Elliot Shore Parks, James Seltzer with you. Ben Kenny on the ones and twos back there, watching golf, hanging out, enjoying the Masters.
How's Tiger doing? It's just
Ben,
so cool to watch.
Give us a Tiger update.
I don't know. I'm focusing on the show, guys.
Oh, wow. Really? Wow. Well, that's new.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
I was expecting a Masters check-in, but that's cool. I'm happy to see you.
Yeah, it's just been awesome watching Tiger do what he does.
Yeah, all right. So
I mean, come on.
A little inside baseball here. So we came in.
It's been inspirational.
Yeah, so we got to know a little. I don't think Elliot understands how the fact that Tiger doing what he's doing, even though he's not winning, is unbelievable what this guy is doing. Considering what happened to his body, like, it is unbelievable that he is competing. It's unbelievable he's even playing at the Masters. And you're like just diminishing it.
Yeah, no, I mean, he was what, one over yesterday? Ben hopped in our ears earlier. He's like, oh, he hit a par. It's like, okay.
He was actually even yesterday. He was one over the previous day.
Okay, so he's one over for the tournament so far. Yeah. Oh, look, I'm happy for him. I like Tiger. He's my favorite golfer of all time. But I'm just not blown away by one over two rounds.
Yeah, but would you give him control of the draft? That's the question.
Well, so I would, maybe. It was funny. I was thinking about this during the break. We talked about, obviously, the 2023 Eagles and the collapse. Uh-huh. I think they've become my new, like, prime example for a team that has no life. Like, we were talking about the Milwaukee Bucks on the way in here.
Yes, we were. Yeah, yeah.
And the Bucks, to me, feel a lot like the 2023 Eagles.
Like, where you just, like, a death march to the end of the season.
Yeah,
I think.
You can look at them and go, they have Giannis, they have Dame, they have a good head coach.
That team ain't winning. Like, exactly. Let me just tell you, them, they ain't winning.
Because with the Eagles at the end of the year, and as you know, because we...
Well, it's like them being favored in the playoff game. The entire nation is like, it's minus three. And we're all sitting here being like, they're losing this game, everyone. Not me, not you.
Yeah,
the rest of us. Right. We're like, they're getting their butts whooped. Like, bet on Tampa, man. Yeah. Like, what are you doing?
It's now my new thing where if I see a team that has a ton of talent, but you just know it's not going to happen.
Yeah, I like that.
So unfortunately, that's what the Eagles. That's what they've become.
They've earned that. Yes. You want to talk about earning something?
All right. The rest of our time talking about Philly sports, we'll always use that as not. Yeah. This is the 2023
Eagles.
Oh,
this team has a real 2023 Eagles vibe. Not good. All right, 215-592-9494. Again. Do you think Nick Sirianni should have a healthy say in what the Eagles do on draft night? Or do you think that...
It's the Howie show.
As a head coach, who might not even be here at the end of the year, maybe he should not have a big say. Do you trust Nick? 215-592-9494. Again, we want to get to as many of our real ones as we can. Let's start out with our guy in Tennessee. What up, feller?
What's happening, fellas? How you guys doing today?
What up, Justin? Glad we got to you early. You know it's draft time when Justin
is. Oh, you're ready to roll.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like having a guest on. Yeah.
I've got my notes ready, and I'm ready to roll, but I might throw a wrinkle.
All right, let's go out on the VIP guest line.
Out in Tennessee.
Y'all are nuts, man. So as far as Nick getting his say, I don't agree with you, Elliot. I don't, because I think – I just don't trust him at this point. I don't.
But then he shouldn't be the head coach. You know what I mean?
Well, I just don't think they trust him either, to be honest with you. As a schemer and his offensive philosophies and stuff, I just don't think they do. Because
so I disagree with that. I think he wouldn't be here if they didn't trust him.
I think it's going to be the offensive coordinator show, man. I'm not saying he's going to have a lot of input, but I think everybody's going to have the same amount of input. When it comes down to it, I think it's going to be Howie's decision. whether it's offense, defense, or a trade, possibly.
I do think it will be Howie's decision. I just want Nick to have a big voice in that decision. I don't want Nick just hanging out in the last row of seats during the draft. I want Nick right there next to Howie having input on who this new Eagle's going to be.
Well, I'm not saying he shouldn't have any input, but I don't think he'll have as much as you would like for him to have. But anyway,
yeah.
that's another time, another place.
Yeah,
and
it's
all
draft.
That.
Let's see who Justin's guys are.
Exactly. As far as players in the first round, we've all been over Cooper DeJean. You don't like him, I do. Nate Wiggins, Chop Robinson. But as far as a second round pick, I want him to go linebacker. I like the kid out of A&M, and I also like the kid out of North Carolina State, Peyton Wilson.
So what's interesting about the linebacker spot is, I think about a month or two ago, it was viewed as Cooper, Edrin Cooper out of Texas A&M, was like a possibility at 22. There are more and more mocks that have both of those linebackers falling out of the first round.
Well, I mean, it seems like all the line. I mean, remember, originally it was like, oh, Trotter Jr., first round. He's going to be like third round. Yeah. It feels like the linebackers in all – and again, look, the mocks, the Nakobe thing you brought up this week, we don't really know. Like, you could go in the first round in a mock and go in the third or whatever, but it does feel like the linebackers are dropping.
Yeah, and I think at 50 and 53, real quick, Justin, at 50 and 53, I would be open to one of those linebackers. I probably like Cooper better, but Peyton Wilson, I think, is the better player right now. I think Cooper is just the better prospect.
So Nick would take him. Got it.
Yeah, exactly. He is a Nick guy. Yeah.
Well, between picks 50, 53, and 120, there's at least eight guys, because I don't think there'll be any linebackers in the first round. I know there's not going to be any running backs in the first round.
Yeah.
So I think there's around eight guys that they could target in that section. But something that was talked about on the afternoon show this week, there's rumors floating around that Patrick Surtain could be made available because the Broncos want to trade up for J.J. McCarthy. Please, Lord, let that happen. I have no faith in J.J. McCarthy whatsoever. So
agreed.
If that's who Sean Payton wants.
Yeah, I kind of want the Giants to get him, but I'm with you. I'd be fine. If we can get Patrick Surtain because they want him, I would be cool with that.
Would you guys give up 22 for him?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I would trade 22 right now for Patrick Surtain.
Yeah, I wouldn't even think twice
about it.
Is
that enough for
22? I think it's going to take 22 and 53,
yeah,
maybe even
too.
Like a late pick next year.
So
we'll
I think
that.
You have
That's
to pay
quick.
Him, Justin. So I think like a first and a second might be enough. Especially that has been an interesting thing that we've seen this offseason is the trades where guys are traded for and have a contract to pay, like the Snead trade, the Burns trade. Like, these guys all went for a lot less draft pick.
Yeah.
I mean, Brian Burns went for a second-round pick.
Like, yeah, what did Snead go for?
Snead went for a third-round pick.
I mean, look at Reddick.
That's my point.
Yeah.
Reddick.
Yeah.
So while I agree with you, I think Surtain is a step above those guys. He's younger, and I think he's a higher-level player than those guys. I do think that it might be something where because you were giving him a contract after, it might not be as much as he would warrant in the past few years type of thing.
I agree with that too. Well, real quick, before I get off here, my thing that I really hope happens, I hope Jared Verse kind of falls a little bit and Howie jumps up to grab him. I said it last week. I can't say it enough. This kid, I think, would be awesome. But we also have the inside deal with Vic Fangio, how he knows Surtain. So, I mean, if he becomes available, who knows? I can't wait. It's getting closer and closer. But anyway, as I say every weekend, boys, I love y'all. I mean, I'm going to get out here.
You're the best, Justin. Yeah, and that point, like, they did – I mean, Vic Fangio drafted Surtain.
Yeah.
Like, he was the head coach of the Broncos when he went there. And how – look, I think for those who don't know, Surtain has been lights out.
He's
really young. I was going to say 25. Like, he's young and, you know, shutdown corner type guy. Obviously, the pedigree, all that stuff. But how realistic do you think him, obviously the Surtain thing is for a trade. And then this idea, we've talked on the pod, on Go Birds Pod, we talked about the possibility for trade up, trade down. We have not talked much about the possibility of just trading away 22 for someone who could step in right now.
Sounds like something Nick would do.
It's
ironically, it sounds like you're, So I do think it is realistic that they will trade for a corner. Now, number 22, you are talking about a Patrick Surtain-level player there.
Considering Snead just went for a third, that's a really, really high level.
So there are guys I like in this draft, and I think the strength of this draft to me is the depth of it. I don't think the strength of this draft is the top-level elite, like, surefire prospects. So at 22, while there are guys I can sit here and say I think he'd be a good pick and he has a big upside – I feel way better about Patrick Surtain being a great player in 3 years than I do anybody they would take at 22. Forget just next year, like for 3 years, because he's still so young. But Let me ask you this. I probably would trade 22 for Patrick Surtain. But let me play devil's advocate and tell me if you think, there's logic here. If you look at their cornerback position and how they've put it together, obviously right now, James Bradbury, not coming off a good year. But Slay, they got for a third-round pick. Bradbury, they signed as a free agent before training camp. The year they won the Super Bowl, they got Patrick Robinson late, or they have him a free agent. They've never invested a big-time resource into that position.
Well, the Darby trade. I mean, they traded a second and a third.
A second,
whatever.
Yeah.
Was it
a second and a third?
I thought it was a second.
Either way, it was a third.
They at least
Jordan
trade
Matthews.
A second for sure.
Right.
So
I guess where I'm going with this is, do you think it's worth
Sidney Jones, they used a second. Yeah, but
do you think it's worth investing that type of resource into a position where they've done a pretty good job piecing it together?
I do.
Because
of the guy, because it's Surtain. I think that guy is worth
investing. So you're almost throwing positional value out.
And
you're
look,
just
to the point where, and again, we've talked a lot, and 215-592-9494 if you want to get in on this, because I know there are a lot of people out there who think Howie's bad at drafting and blah, 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 and all that, and we'll love to take those calls. But one thing I think you can say, and he hasn't done a ton of them, but he has not drafted cornerback well when he has drafted them. And the Sidney Jones thing is its own thing with the injury and all that. But, you look at it and say, do I want him to draft a guy at 22 or do I just want him to go get Patrick Surtain,
Yeah, I would just go get Patrick Surtain. When I look at how they've pieced it together, I mean, Slay has been an outstanding corner for this team. They got him for a third round pick. I think corner is a position where if you're talking like top level guy, like a Sauce, then yes. And I think Surtain is in that class. But if it's not Surtain, I think they can put together a good secondary without giving up that high level.
Let's go to Ocean City and talk to our guy, Chris. Christopher!
Yeah, what's going on, fellas?
What up, Chris? How you doing, man?
I'm doing very well, thanks. It's 70s and sunny here today. It's beautiful.
That is beautiful.
First off, to have to address the Tigers thing, just given his age alone, it's incredible what
Thank
he's
you.
Doing at Augusta
Thank
right
you.
Now.
Tell him.
And the fact that his body was completely destroyed to the point that he almost died, and that he's in better shape now, what is he, 50 or whatever, than I've ever been at any point in my life, is incredible. So, Elliot, you're wrong.
I'll take the L on this one. It is okay. Incredible to watch him do this, yes.
Well, get ready to take a couple more because
right,
I'm not
done. Right. I don't take them often, so we'll see.
So the next one is regarding Nick having say in the draft. There's a reason why the organization is as big as it is and that they have an entire department devoted to scouting.
Mm-hmm.
I want the scouts to focus on the talent. I want Nick to focus on how to coach the talent. Now, I think it's imperative that Howie understand the overall vision of the team and the direction that they want to go. But it's honestly more important for him to get Kellen and Vic's opinion on it because they're going to be the ones whose scheme they're implementing. And that's been reinforced by Lurie at his end of the year press conference, saying that he wants Nick to be CEO head coach, and he's putting the success on the coordinators this year and put the failure on the coordinators last year. So I want Nick to know his role, and I want the scouts to do their job, and then he can worry about coaching them once they're here.
Yeah, so I think there's a lot of truth to what you're saying. Obviously, the scouts are the ones that spend all year scouting these guys. Now, Nick does also scout some players, like after season till the draft. He'll look at guys, receivers, quarterbacks. They're obviously not going to take a quarterback earlier this year, but he does look at guys on the offensive side of the ball and he'll have opinion on them. As far as the coordinators, you're right that with Fangio, I'm not really taking Nick's opinion on a defensive guy, but if you're looking on the offensive side of the ball, I think his opinion matters just as much as Kellen Moore's, because while Kellen is going to come in here and add his big time wrinkles to the offense, they are still a collaborative team in terms of building that offense. So I think what Kellen wants is what Nick wants, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think that's fair, and I think that a successful franchise, they better want the same thing if we have a chance of going anywhere this year. But then,
you want everyone pointed in the same direction,
right? Yeah,
I think that's real quick. I think that's how it'll be. Yeah. My only point is, I just want Nick a heavy part of the conversation. Is I guess really my ultimate thing here.
Yeah, I think it's semantics. Like, I want him kept apprised.
Chris, we are on the exact same page.
But I want him more than kept apprised.
We know, we get it. That's the differentiation between us. Go ahead, Chris. Yeah.
But then, speaking of individual players, as I've watched a few more five-minute YouTube video clips, I like a bunch of different players at different positions. I really like Fuaga out of Oregon State, Wiggins at corner. DeJean, I think, would be awesome as a safety kind of hybrid. Murphy on the D-line. What's really sticking out to me is something that you addressed, I think, last week, Elliot, is that I don't see a lot of difference in that second half of the first round, which makes me less inclined to trade up. And also, with your talk of there being a lot of depth, I'm less inclined to trade my second-round pick at all. I want to keep 50 and 53. So that's where I am as of this week. But then I want to end. I have a millennial concert dilemma for you. I would like your opinion.
Very excited.
Love this. Yeah, what do you got?
Okay, so I have two competing concerts on April 27th. There's Sublime and Cypress Hill playing at Red Rocks.
Oh, my goodness.
I've never been to Red Rocks.
Red Rocks is amazing, by the way.
And then it's the CU football spring scrimmage game, followed by a Lil Wayne concert at Folsom Field with special guests.
Ooh.
And I've never seen Lil Wayne. So, like, what would you guys do? Because they're two awesome shows, and I like
to talk about this one. All right, so here's what I would say. I think that the football game in Lil Wayne is more up my alley. I'm not the biggest fan of those two bands you said.
Sublime and Cypress Hill.
Yeah, I'm just but I think you go to the concert at Red Rock.
Red Rocks, so I've been to Red Rocks.
I've not, but it's on my bucket list.
It is awesome. It is so cool there. Obviously the acoustics, the whole vibe, the you know, just Red Rock all around. You're watching concerts. It's like it really is an amazing place. I would vote for Red Rocks, but you know me, I'm like Mr. Concert Guy, so.
Yeah, the complicating factor is that I've seen Cypress Hill a bunch, and I just saw them in Denver last year with the Symphony. But I don't know. Anyways, I'll keep you guys apprised. But love the content.
My man.
And I'll be talking to you next
week. You're the best, Chris. We love it. Awesome. 215-592-9494. Yeah, Red Rocks is amazing. It's worth getting
I've already changed my mind. He should go to the football game.
Yeah, yeah. I'm surprised. By the time we get back, you'll be the other way. Yeah. All right, 215-592-9494. Keep those calls coming. We want to talk to as many real ones as we can. 215-592-9494. What kind of say should Nick Sirianni have? And what the Eagles do on draft night, and your draft thoughts. Who do you want? If you got a player, give it to us. It's Go Birds Radio. We're coming right back. It's Go Birds Radio. Elliot Shore Parks, James.
This
Salter.
Is better than any Sublime song.
How am I supposed to respond?
Is it even debatable?
Yeah, I like Sublime way more than that. What are you talking? Can you name a Sublime song before you?
That's the point. Of course, I can't. Do you know what that song was?
Lil Wayne, I'm guessing. Right, yeah.
I could put two and two together.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. No, I mean Sublime. Like, I think Sublime.
What's Sublime's best song?
What I Got. You know that one?
No.
Love is What I Got.
That's pretty good.
Doesn't remember.
Yeah.
And then Bad Fish.
Well sung by you.
Thank you, buddy.
Yeah.
That's what I do here. Sing poorly.
Do I need to find returns that don't spark argument?
Good luck.
Most of them do.
It's impossible. It's a good thing. Yeah. Yeah. Sublime's great. Sublime, one of the more, I would say, like, of people of my generation, you know, people in their, you know, from, like, I would say, like, you know, your age,
right.
Like mid-30s to, like, low 40s.
Yeah, I feel like Sublime was
popular. I feel
like
everyone likes Sublime. Like, I feel like no one doesn't like Sublime.
I just like Lil Wayne more.
I know you do.
Yeah.
Baby. I know you do.
That's especially
Lil
that
Lil Wayne is now and right. Sublime
Well, no,
is then.
Lil Wayne was also when
whatever,
when we were
the
younger.
Point, right. Yeah, but not when we were that much younger. More like the 2000s. Sublime was the 90s. I mean.
Well, yeah, but in the 90s, I was, like, 7. So it's just a different. You know, I'm not taking a music the same way.
215-592-9494 as I sit here disappointed. Let's go back to the phones. Should Nick Sirianni have a big say in what the Eagles do on draft night? Look at who's on the line there. Our guy. Let's go out to California. Our buddy Ryan, formerly Swoop for a decade. What up, pal?
Well, let's see. There's the jaw harp. The theremin.
Ah, nice.
Nice.
The
there it is.
And cowbell.
Didgeridoo.
Oh, what
cowbell.
Prince played. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. Sorry. I was still going from the.
So great job by you. For those who didn't know on our podcast, Elliot, we tried to name 27 instruments because Elliot mentioned how Prince played 27 instruments on an album, which is unbelievable.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is probably bad podcasting. And he's like, no, I'll bet you people are enjoying
good.
It.
Yeah,
and Ryan was doing it. Also, I'll say, as soon as we left, I thought of like 5 more, and I was so annoyed with myself.
So funny story, and Ryan, for you too. Like, so I was out last night with friends, and I did the name 27 instruments thing again, and it's a big hit. It really works. But I Googled, you guys want to guess how many instruments there are?
Oh, there's probably thousands.
Thousands.
I was 1,500. It's
yeah, that's what I would guess. I would guess.
Spoons are instruments.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, if you really, you know.
Yeah,
man.
I guess anything could be an instrument.
Yeah, that's true.
Hey, okay, Elliot, Spoon Man. Who played that?
Yeah,
what
Spoon
song
man.
Is that?
Spoon Man.
I have no idea.
Of course you do.
Yeah.
Sound big surprise. Shock face.
Yeah. I never even heard
hashtag.
That.
Come together with your player, Spoon
In
Man.
The return,
it sounds like an SNL song.
It's
a great song. It's a great song.
There we go. Anyhow, I'm here just to have some fun, talk about my thought here. Totally selfish, by the way. You both are going to hate it.
Love it.
But Napa Valley's own Brock Bowers.
Oh, I do hate it. Yes, love it.
Do.
Make the case.
Here, I mean, So we've got Dallas Goedert. And I know you said, you know, Elliot, we've got this great tight end. Why will we need to get another tight end? Well, we have two great wide receivers. Why do we need another great wide receiver? So I think you've got somebody to just do it again, do the Zach Ertz.
Yeah, but I just think that the difference to me is Devontae and AJ are on the field at all times. You're not really running two tight end sets a ton. So that would be a difference there for me. I don't know if I want the offense to go to a point where I'm forcing tight ends on the field just because of the personnel, as opposed to running the style of offense and the packages you want for the scheme.
Well, give me more tight ends. You know, I'm all about that. I think that we you know, our red zone was horrendous. I mean, quite frankly, so
yeah.
I'll take a stud like that. Or, you know, that's a reach pick. But what's his name? Cooper from Iowa, cornerback. That guy.
Cooper DeJean. Yeah. So yeah, my issue with him is, while he is a great athlete, my issue is he did not play a lot of press man coverage in college. And if I'm taking someone in the first round, like, so Brock Bowers, I'll use him as an example. You know, Brock Bowers can be an elite receiving tight end. Like, that is his strength. With Cooper, it sounds like his strength to me is he can do a lot of things. I don't know if he can do any one thing great. And in the first round, I have to feel like the guy I'm taking can do one thing at a high, like, elite level. So that'd be my concern with him.
That's fair. And to answer your question, Elliot, you want to go to the concert where they play the hits and it's 45 minutes long.
Exactly. Yep, that's right. It's a great point, actually. I'm sure Lil Wayne will just, you know, come out there, play the hits.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's a good point.
Don't go to Red Rock then, because those are like 3-hour concerts.
Yeah.
You'll be so bored.
Yeah.
You're the best, Ry.
Yeah, I guess I have officially
we'll talk to you
changed
soon, buddy.
My mind.
Great
I would
call.
Go to the concert.
Oh,
game.
Yeah. For those who don't know, Elliot wants all concerts to be 45 minutes. Just play the songs he knows. Just
play the hits.
Get in, get out.
Yeah. Everyone sings along. It's what you want.
Yeah, I can't argue with you about music this whole show. Let's talk to Drew from Westchester and say, what up, pal?
Hey, what's up, boys? So
what up,
real quick, you'll appreciate this. I'm traveling for a wedding. I am not in Dallas, but Pete's Dueling Piano Bar came up last night.
Nice.
I was talking to a couple people in the wedding party. So I wish I could forget the Sunday night portion of the trip, but shout out.
Yeah, we had a blast prior.
Yeah.
We had a blast prior to the game itself. Yes.
Yeah, so typically I usually agree with Seltzer, but I'm coming in to back Elliot up here. And look, I don't want it to sound like I'm ripping Howie, because I like Howie. But if I'm Nick, if I've studied my recent history, I'm looking at my recent Eagles history, I'm looking at things, and I'm like, okay, we're picking in the low to mid-20s, Jalen Reagor, Andre Dillard, Marcus Smith. And in my head, I'm thinking to Howie, like, dude, some of your recent picks have played a big role in getting my predecessors fired because they didn't pan out. So, like, if I definitely think based on that, you know, Nick should have some say in what's happening, because we know this portion of the draft, you know, this kind of where we're supposedly picking is not Howie's strength.
So it is not Howie's, you know, strong suit, or hasn't been, but it doesn't mean that he's going to fail in the 20s. It is, I think a lot of people struggle in the 20s. I'm you know, the vast majority of picks that happen in the 20s don't end up working out as well. But regardless, look, I think it's a fair point about Howie, but that doesn't mean I want Nick Sirianni making the call. Like, I want the scouts making the call. I want the people whose job it is to evaluate talent to make the call. And then, even past that, I want who Kellen Moore thinks fits well. I want who Vic Fangio thinks fits well.
Yeah, like, but to be fair, so what, you know, obviously Howie scouts players, clearly. But Howie also is someone that's just taking information from scouts and then making decisions as well. So what Howie would be doing is not that different than what Nick would be doing. Nick would read the scouting reports. He'd talk to the scouts. He'd sit there. He'd see what's available. And then he would sit and go, okay, I think this player would be so awesome in my offense. We should strongly, strongly consider taking this guy. And if Nick were to say something like that, I think Howie really needs to take that into consideration.
Yeah, I think Nick is a brighter football mind than people give him credit for.
Sure.
Now, look, he might not be Kyle Shanahan in terms of maybe he's not an amazing cook in terms of like whipping up all the ingredients together, but there's a lot of people who aren't great cooks who can go to the market and decipher like which cut of meat or which like fruit looks the best and is going to taste the best. So I definitely would be cool with Nick being involved there. In terms of kind of like other draft stuff, Jared Verse is my dude. He's the guy I'm zeroing in on, would love to kind of solve this whole problem.
Well, can I ask real quick, Drew, not to interrupt, but you and Justin both really like Jared Verse. What is it that you really like about him?
Yeah, I think he's got good power where he'll complement, some of our speed guys well, like Nolan Smith and like Huff. I think he transferred from Albany, where it seems to me like he's a guy that's got a chip on his shoulder, combined with that Florida State team kind of got, the committee didn't do them any favors. So I think he's going to come into the league hungry. He seems to be a guy that can contribute, like, right away to me.
All right. Yeah. I like Jared Verse, but I was just curious. It's just interesting. You both really liked him.
Yeah, for sure. Always cool to be aligned with that with Justin.
Yes, exactly.
Just one other thing I wanted to leave you guys with, if I could. Obviously, we have to focus on what the Eagles are going to do, but I think a big important thing in this draft is which quarterback do the Commanders take, because that is a big impact on the Eagles. Personally, I like Jaden Daniels more than Drake May, so I'm hoping they take May. I'm just curious if you guys have any thoughts there.
So I do, and Drew, great call, as always. I do have some thoughts on the Drake May versus Jaden Daniels thing. We'll tell you those next.
Can't wait to hear.
Yeah, I actually...
I don't know them either. We haven't talked quarterbacks.
We have not talked quarterbacks at all, and obviously not specific to the Eagles, but to Drew's point, it is important. Like, there is a chance that after this draft, like the franchise quarterback for the Washington Commanders, not a chance, they will have him. It's a question of if he'll be good or not, but it could be someone who's in our life for a long time. It's a good point by Drew. We'll get to that next, as well as your calls. How much say should Nick Sirianni have when it comes to draft night, to the players the Eagles choose? What say you? 215-592-9494. 1 hour down, 1 hour to go. It's Go Birds Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.